ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Yeah, there, as I mentioned earlier this morning, there are literally hundreds and thousands of narrations, of anecdotes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His deity form, manifesting Himself, speaking to, performing pastimes, appearing in dreams to His devotees, and sometimes even to non-devotees, mostly to devotees. And it's going on up to the present time, and it will continue to go on. So I'll just narrate a few of such anecdotes. Again, as Srila Prabhupada was installing Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadhish in Los Angeles, he said that the Krishna has come here because he wants to speak to you. We may say, well, I want to speak to Krishna, but if we want to speak to Krishna, we have to prepare ourselves for that also. If we want to do anything else except serve Krishna, then it's not very likely that Krishna will reveal Himself to us. He generally keeps Himself reserved. He's a very friendly person, Krishna, but He chooses His friends carefully. He's also a very wise person. He chooses His friends carefully. And he wants to, if you're going to be a friend with someone, because Krishna, He'll give Himself fully to someone. But He wants to see if they actually want to serve Him. Apart from that, He has all kinds of guards around Him who don't allow people into the spiritual world unless they're properly authorized. So there are many narrations of how Krishna reciprocates in the form of the deity in our sampradaya, in other Vaishnava sampradayas, in other non-Vaishnava sampradayas also. Various deities of demigods may also reciprocate with their followers. However, that's not an exchange of pure bhakti. That the demigod may interact with their worshippers, it's still demigod worship. It's still not going to be pure devotion. It cannot be. Sometimes people ask, well, is it possible to have pure devotion for demigods in which you're completely selflessly worshipping them? But that is avidhi purvakam. It's not proper. Because the demigods, they're not the proper objects of worship. They're not the ultimate, let's put it this way, they're not the ultimate objects of worship. Yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shatayamvita taipi maameva kantaya yajantya vidhipurvaka. It's actually meant, the non-devotees, they interpret this to say, well, you worship different demigods, and anyway, it's all meant for Krishna. But Krishna says, yes, that's true, but they're not doing it properly. The proper way to worship me, he says again and again through Bhagavad Gita, ananya cheta satatam, yo mam smarati nityasaha. Concentrating on me without deviation elsewhere. That means not to demigods also. So the demigods, they may interact with their followers whose faith in them then becomes stronger. But that's a manifestation of Maya. They actually, by, if the deity of a demigod speaks to the devotee, that actually puts the devotee of the demigod more in Maya, because their faith becomes stronger. What is that verse? Achala Shraddham. I give unwavering faith. How does that verse begin? Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shraddhaya chita mitchati tasya tasya chalang shraddham tameva vidadhamyam. Krishna says, if someone wants to worship some different demigod, I give them the unwavering faith in that demigod. Why would Krishna do that? Well, people want to be in Maya. He helps them. But it's not proper. It's not. Because our eternal constitutional position as a servant is as servants of Krishna. And that's true for the demigods also. So anyway, we know that in Vrindavan, Bhoma Vrindavan, Vrindavan as manifested in this world at the present time, there are many temples, among which several are particularly important. Seven temples are particularly important. The temples established by the early followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, and they shared this order with others, to research in Shastra, to establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings of pure devotion, to write books in this regard, to Lupta Tirtha Udhar, to rediscover and develop the various holy places in Vrindavan connected with Krishna's pastimes. Hare Krishna. And to propagate the cult of pure devotion. So part of that with the Lupta Tirtha Udha, re-establishing the lost or hidden holy places, a major part of that was that so many deities of Krishna had been established in Vrindavan long ago by Vajranabha, Krishna's grandson, one of the few survivors of the... He's not, he's not doing anything. After the Yadu dynasty was destroyed. Hare Krishna. So what had happened to all those deities? They'd been worshipped, the deities had been taken away during the Muslim invasions, or somehow become lost in the course of time. So I spoke this morning about Sanatana Goswami's Madan Mohan. Sanatana Goswami brought Madan Mohan back to Vrindavan, who had gone to Mathura. Rupa Goswami, in his old age, he lived a long life, and he had been performing the services of writing books, preaching bhakti. But he was morose because he wanted to find and re-establish the worship of Govinda Dev. Krishna in Vrindavan is known by many names, among which the name Govinda is particularly popular and well known. Of course, in Tirumala also, the devotees waiting in those long lines for a long time to have darshan of Srinivas or Balaji, they often call out, Govinda, Govinda. So he's also Govinda, but especially this, at least the Gauriya Vaishnavas and all, there are three sampradayas particularly connected with Vrindavan. The Gauriyas, the Vallabh Sampradaya, and the Mbarka Sampradaya. So they all think of Govinda. Govinda means cowherd. Of course, Srinivas is also. But he is a bit more civilized and sophisticated than Govinda in Vrindavan, who runs around with bare feet and sometimes holding his food in his left hand. That's how Brahma saw Krishna. He's a little boy running behind some cows with bare feet, with some food. And what kind of food? Just some yogurt and rice all mixed together. In his left hand. Doesn't seem like God to me, that Brahma said. And you know what happened next? Brahma made it. We shouldn't say it, but the name is there, Brahma Vimohana Leela. He made a big fool of himself. Of course, transcendental fool. He's the head of our sampradaya. We offer him all obeisance, but he's fortunate to take part in the pastimes of Krishna to show that Krishna, Govinda, herding the cows with some food in his left hand, looking like a boy playing in the forest. There's only boys playing in the forest. Not nowadays, there are no forests and all the boys have to go to their horrible schools. But it's a very common scene. So Brahma, even though he'd already seen Krishna killing so many demons, but he became doubtful. And in this way, demonstrated by his doubtfulness, set up a situation by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, arranged a situation by which Krishna demonstrated that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in Vrindavan, he's not particularly interested in being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Afterwards, when Brahma offered Krishna prayers, very important prayers, philosophically very important, establishing Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Brahma is offering so many prayers to Krishna, and Krishna just standing there, and Brahma doesn't know, is he pleased with me or not pleased with me? Krishna's just standing there, and Krishna's thinking, when's this guy going to finish? I want to get back and play with my friends. The acharyas have revealed. Brahma didn't know, and Krishna's just thinking, phew, he's really loquacious. He talks a lot. Anyway, we're glad he did, because those prayers of Brahma are very important for understanding Krishna. Anyway, Krishna in Vrindavan is known as Govinda, he who gives pleasure to the cows, the earth, and the senses. The name is there outside. Vrindavan also, as Srila Prabhupada one purport in his Bhagavad Gita as it is, gives the understanding of previous acharyas. But when Arjuna addresses Krishna as Govinda, Govinda means who gives pleasure to the senses. So Arjuna thought, I don't want to fight. You should give pleasure to my senses. But that's a wrong understanding. That we should engage Krishna as a servant, this is an example given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, maybe others gave it before him, a supplier of fuel to put in the blazing fire of our material desires. In other words, we shouldn't engage Krishna to try to please our senses. It's a poetic way of putting it. Anyway, Rup Goswami was disappointed. This story is given in the Sri Bhakti Ratnakara, which mostly covers pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates, especially after the passing away of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's very, very, very big book. I think it's more verses than Chaitanya Charitamrita. Quite a few more. That's mainly the subject. That was written quite some time, I think almost 200 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's passing. There's so many important books. If you have time, no one has time. Well, maybe when you're retired. But when we say when you're retired, go and preach like Prabhupada did. Anyway, somehow, try and find time to read all these books. So in the Bhakti Ratnaka, it's described that Rupa Goswami had been searching, asking people, how did the Goswamis do this Lupta Tirtha Udhar, finding out the lost holy places? Well, they'd ask the local people, do you know any, is there something in your folklore, maybe the old people, they said there used to be a temple here. They'd find old manuscripts and legal deeds to find out if, just like this Akbar, he gave a legal deed to Jiva Goswami for the Damodar temple. So that's still extant, written in Farsi script. So in this way they were trying to find out, but Rupa Goswami, despite much effort, he had not found Govinda. He had even gone house to house in Vrindavan. Of course, there are not nearly as many houses there at that time as there are now, but he'd asked everyone, do you know anything about Govinda deity? No. So one day, he was just sitting on the bank of the Yamuna and meditating, wondering how I have to fulfill this order. And one day, unannounced, unexpected, one person came to him, a Vrajvasi, resident of Vrindavan, came to him. And this Vrajvasi had a very striking countenance, very beautiful, calm, grave. And he asked Rupa Goswami, why do you look so sad? Generally everyone would think that everyone in Vrindavan should be happy. Why are you looking so sad? Rupa Goswami immediately felt great trust in this person and very great attraction toward him. And he told him everything, that I can't find Govinda. I came to Vrindavan. Everyone comes to Vrindavan to find Govinda. I specifically want to find this deity Govinda, but can't find it. So this Rajvasi told him, don't worry, there's a hill called Gomatila. Tila means hill. You'll go there and you'll see that every afternoon, one cow comes there and just stands there and lets milk automatically flows from her udders. And there under the ground, she's doing that, she's feeding Govinda, who's under the ground there. So then the Rajvasi disappeared. Where did he go? Rupa Goswami fell unconscious And after some time, he became conscious again, but he was overcome with spiritual emotion. And tears were falling from his face. But then he pulled himself together, as the saying goes. He controlled his emotions because he thought, now I have some important service to do. He rounded up the local villagers, Vrajvasis, and told them that there's a deity on this hill, and they were surprised because they thought, really? We've seen this hill. All it just seems like any other hill to us. Doesn't seem very likely there's a deity there. You're saying it's a very important spiritual place. But then there was a divine oracle, Akashvani, said, yeah, go there. And so they went there and they dug up the land there very carefully, because you have to dig carefully, just like they put signs, don't dig here without getting permission from the local corporation, because there are gas lines underneath or electricity lines. So dig carefully, because Krishna's there. And eventually they unearthed a deity who is described as beautiful as millions of Kandarpas. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. So Narahari Chakravarti, the author of Bhakti Ratnaka, he was actually a cook for Radha Govinda for many, many years. He was cooking for the deity. And then in his old age, he wrote this book. Very big book. So he says that there's another book called Sadhana Deepika by Radha Krishna Goswami, a disciple of Haridas Pandit Goswami of Vrindavan, in which this story has been given in great detail. So then everyone became very happy. Many, many people came to see the deity. Even Lord Brahma and other demigods came in the disguise of human beings to offer their respects to that deity. And Rupa Goswami sent news to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This wouldn't be in his old age then. I made a mistake there. He sent a letter to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Send a letter means you have to send someone physically to walk from Vrindavan to Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy on getting this news. That deity of Govinda is still worshipped with great affection by the people of Jaipur. He's now in Jaipur. He resides there in the palace of the king of Jaipur. And every day is a big festival. Who's been to Jaipur? Radha Govinda. If you go every day, Mangal Arti, hundreds of people there. It's a big festival every day. And it goes on throughout the day, the worship of Govinda. Another deity who revealed herself to Rupa Goswami was Vrinda Devi, Tulasi Devi in deity form, in a dream. She was on the bank of the... She was again under the earth, on the bank of the Brahma Kund. This is only just stated in short, very briefly, in Bhakti Ratnaka. And says, for more details, see Sadhana Deepika. But as far as I know, that book, Sadhana Deepika, is not extant. Radharaman, he is the deity worshipped. He's the only deity of these. Actually, there were the six Goswamis, But there are also other deities who were established by other... We say the six Goswamis because they were the main followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there at that time. And they... But there was also Lokanath Goswami, who was the Bhugarbha and Lokanath were the first to go to Vrindavan on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Lokanath Goswami, he worshipped Radha Gokulananda, Radha Vinod. He would keep him in a bag. He would walk, he would wander around Vrindavan, and he would keep the deity, quite small deity, in his in a bag as he walked around. Madhu Pandit, he established Gopinath deity. But all these deities, they all went outside Vrindavan at the time of the Muslim invasions, except one who remained there all the time. That is Radharaman. Now, if you still see Madan Mohan and Govinda and all these deities in Vrindavan, but they are Madan Mohan and Govinda and Gopinath, but they're Pratibhu deities. Means they were the same. The original form went outside Vrindavan. Most of them went to Rajasthan, and later, when the situation became more peaceful, another form of the Lord was established. So when we go for darshan of Madan Mohan in Vrindavan, that Madan Mohan is Madan Mohan, but not exactly the same form who was established by Sanatana Goswami. That form is in Karoli, in Rajasthan. And Govinda, and so many, Govinda, Gopinath, Damodar, Radha Madhav, they're all in Jaipur. Oh yeah, I should drink, okay. And, but Radha Raman is still there. Now, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he had gone to Nepal, what we now call Nepal, and he had taken Shalagram Shilas from the Gandaki River, and he was worshipping them. But he thought all the other Goswamis, they're worshipping deities, and they can decorate them and give them clothing. He used to think that, well, I'd also like to do that. He kept his Shalagram Shilas in a small wicker basket. So one day, it happened to be Nrisimha Chaturdashi, very hot day. He kept his wicker basket on the side of the river Yamuna as he went to take bath. And he came back and he found that there were no shilas there. They'd all formed themselves into the form of Radharaman. So these things happen. It may not happen to me and you, but it happens to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So that form is still worshipped in Vrindavan at the Radharaman temple. You've all been there, Radharaman? So, Krishna is very beautiful, Radharaman. Raman. And Radha in that temple is also very beautiful. Of course, Radha is always beautiful. You've all been there for darshan? Radha, the beautiful form, have you seen? You've all seen there in Radharaman temple. Well, she is there, but we can't see her. There's no deity as such of Radha, but still she's worshipped. Those who have eyes can see her. Okay, I'm just going to take a little break and go and say Gayatri and drink some water and this and that. And then I'll come back again. You can chant, or maybe you also want to chant around or something like that. Just 10 minutes, then I'll be back. Krishna willing. It's good to always say, Krishna willing. I will do this, I will do that. Karta aham, I am the doer. This is called ahankar, I will do. Krishna willing, inshallah. It's a very good saying, very good. We're not the controller, we are controlled. Man proposes and God disposes. Okay, if you want, you can do kirtan.